And the other was the place where the Dwarkadish Mandir is now standing. So this is called Beit Dwarka. And this is the most intimate and confidential area of Dwarka Dham. Because Krishna built the most beautiful palaces for his principal 8 queens in this place. I would like to explain briefly about Lord Sri Krishna's marriages to the queens of Dwarka. As we were explaining at Gopi Talav, Lord Sri Krishna did not want to engage in warfare with Jarasandha, but rather he was willing to accept the reputation of a coward as Ranchor, one who ran from battle, and also he was willing to let the demons think that he was defeated and killed by being burned on a mountain. And the great acharyas explain the reason for this is he wanted to rush back to Dwarka for a very special reason. So one day when he was in the Sudharma assembly house, a messenger came from the city of Vidarbha. It was a message from the beautiful queen of Bhishmaka, whose name was Rukmini. Rukmini, when she was very young, Narada Muni came to the kingdom and with great devotion was glorifying the attributes of Lord Sri Krishna. Upon hearing this, her heart was awakened with its natural eternal love for Krishna. Rukmini Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. And it is explained that Srimati Radharani expanded in the form of Rukmini to always be in the loving service of her beloved Krishna in Sri Dwarka Dham. So Rukmini Devi, upon hearing the glories of the Lord, naturally fell in love with Krishna. Although we may not be of this tattva of the goddesses of fortune, it is a fact that every spirit soul, every jivatma, has dormant within its heart love of Krishna. And by hearing Krishna's glories from pure devotees of the Lord, that natural inclination to surrender to Krishna, to love Krishna, is awakened. So Rukmini Devi fixed her mind on Krishna and vowed within her heart she would accept no one as her husband except the beautiful son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Meanwhile, King Bhishmaka was also very favorable toward Rukmini marrying Krishna. But her brother, eldest brother, Rukmi, was a dear friend of Shishupal. And as you know, Shishupal was the worst enemy of Krishna. When Shishupal was born, shortly after, it was prophesied that Krishna would be the source of his death. So ever since then, he was completely envious of Krishna. In fact, when Shishupal first began to speak, the first sounds out of his mouth were like a braying of an ass insulting Krishna. And he never stopped this blasphemy throughout his life. Anyways, Rukmi wanted his sister Rukmini to marry Shishupal. And because he was the eldest son, the father and all other brothers, they all agreed. So the wedding date was set. And Shishupal was madly infatuated with lust for Rukmini. Of course, we should know that no materialistic demoniac person like Shishupal can possibly perceive Rukmini as she is. But it was factually the Maya expansion of Rukmini that he was seeing. He could not perceive the true Rukmini. He was covered by the curtain of Maya. Naham prakasha saravasya yoga maya samavrata. Because we should know that the goddess of fortune, nobody but Krishna could look upon her for any other motive but divine love. And only those who are pure servants of Krishna, assisting her in her loving affairs of Krishna, can see her as she is. So Rukmini, she was in a desperate condition. This messenger read the letter to Krishna and said that tomorrow morning I am scheduled to marry Shishupal. But my heart, my mind is always longing only for you. If anyone but you, my Lord Krishna, takes my hand, I will certainly commit suicide. And she glorified Krishna with so many beautiful, loving prayers. And she explained that if, my Lord, you so desire to save my life and give me your infinite mercy, that mercy that Brahma, Shiva, and all the great saints are always longing for, then this is my plan. In my palace, if you try to take me away, you will have to fight with my family members. But just before the wedding ceremony in the morning, it is our family tradition that I must go to the temple of Ambika or Parvati and worship her. As I am coming out, Shishupal and all of his entourage of friends and supporters will be there. That will be the ideal time for you to take me away. She said, I am like a lamb that is about to be devoured by jackals. But you are like the majestic king lion. Please take me away from these low-born jackals. When Krishna heard this message, his heart filled with love, and he told the messenger that I cannot even sleep at night. I am always longing in love to be reunited with my Rukmini. This is the nature of the spiritual divine love between the Lord and his eternal consort. He said, you tell Rukmini that I will come and we will be together. So the next morning, Rukmini, she was awake all night waiting for Krishna, and she was becoming very much anxious because still the messenger had not returned and Krishna, there was no sign of Krishna coming. And it was only minutes remaining before the ceremony was to begin. Meanwhile, Krishna, he took his chariot driver Daruka and his horses and he rode to Vidarbha. And when Balaram heard the news, he also brought a large army of Yadus and followed behind Krishna. Maharaj Bhishmaka, when he heard that Lord Sri Krishna had come to attend this wedding, wonderful wedding between Shishupal and Rukmini, he went to the city limits to greet him and give him wonderful accommodations. Meanwhile, Rukmini went to the temple of Ambika. She bowed down before Mother Parvati and prayed, let all my austerities, all my tapasyas, and all my religious activities throughout my life culminate, my dear mother, in allowing Krishna to take me away from this place and accept my hand in marriage. Then as she was leaving the temple, Shishupal was waiting for her very anxiously. And along with him was Jarasandha and Shalva and all other demoniac friends of his from all over the world. Rukmini was being escorted to the place of the marriage ceremony. And just before she approached Shishupal, Krishna came driving up on his chariot, and he took her hand and lifted her onto the chariot and started driving away. And when Shishupal and his friends, they saw this, they were furious with anger, and they all attacked Krishna. But Krishna defeated all of them. They all had to flee for their lives. Meanwhile, the armies of the others began to attack, and Balaram with his armies was defeating all of them. And Krishna drove off with Rukmini. But Rukmini, upon seeing Shishupal, Jarasandha, Salva completely defeated by Sri Krishna, he made a vow that I will never return to my village, my kingdom, unless I kill Krishna. So with this vow, he ran chasing after Sri Krishna. And he challenged Krishna and began to shoot arrows at Krishna. And Krishna easily defeated him. He was about to kill him, but Krishna saw that Rukmini, who naturally loved her brother, would have been very disturbed in mind if she were to see his brother dead. So he bound him, captured him, and did to him something that was worse than death. For a Kshatriya to be humiliated is more painful than death itself. So he shaved Rukmini's hair in certain way, where there are patches of hair and patches of no hair all over the place, in such a way that he looked very foolish. And then, with insulting words, he let him loose. Rukmini was very much upset. He was devastated. But meanwhile, Krishna brought Rukmini back to Dwarka. And here, there was a wonderful, wonderful wedding ceremony that took place. This was the first queen of Sri Krishna. And the place where Rukmini's palace was is said to be just here. While Krishna was living happily with Rukmini in the beautiful city of Dwarka, one day, a great king of the name Satrajit came to the city. Satrajit was a devotee of the sun god Vivaswan, who gave him a beautiful jewel called a Shamantaka. Whoever wore this jewel would be free from disease and danger. And also, it is explained that when Satrajit came into Dwarka, his body was effulgent, and people thought he was the sun god himself, and they went and reported, "Krishna, Vivaswan, the sun god, has come to meet you." Krishna said, "This is Satrajit, who has received the valuable Shamantaka jewel from the sun god. This Shamantaka jewel, whoever owned it, was able to receive from that jewel 170 pounds of pure solid gold every day." So when Satrajit came before Krishna, Krishna, knowing that this material opulence is actually a great burden, attachment to material opulence, although in the beginning it is like pleasure, in the end it's like bitter poison. So for Satrajit's own sake, Krishna said, "You should give this jewel to Ugrasena, the king. The best things should be offered to him." But Satrajit was too much attached. He said, "No, I will keep it myself." Anyways, one day, Prasena, the brother of Satrajit, took that jewel and wore it around his neck and went into the forest. There a lion killed his horses and killed him and took the jewel. As the lion was walking with the jewel, he came across Jambavan, that ancient associate of Lord Ramchandra, Riksharaj, who killed the lion and took the jewel into his cave. In the cave, he gave the jewel to his little son. Anyways, when Prasena came, did not come back, Satrajit began to spread rumors that because Krishna wanted this jewel, he has done something to my brother and he has stolen it. And the people of Dwarka, even though they were such great celebrated personalities, even they were victim to rumors. We could see how terrible gossip and rumors are, especially when they are against great personalities. That even the inhabitants of Dwarka fell victim to starting to believe and suspect Krishna. So Krishna, knowing that people's love and appreciation for him was their means of perfection, he wanted to clear his name. So he took an entourage of his associates into the forest to search for the Shamantaka jewel. And he found Prasena dead. And he walked on further and saw the lion dead. And he walked on further, following the footprints into the cave. And there he saw a little child playing with the Shamantaka jewel. And just as Krishna was about to take it away, the nurse of the child began to cry, "Jambavan, please come, someone is going to steal the jewel from your baby." And Jambavan came charging out, and he challenged this thief to a fight. And they began to beat each other, and beat each other, and beat each other. It was such a fight that day and night, without sleep, 24 hours a day, for 28 days they were fighting. Meanwhile, after 12 days, the associates of Lord Sri Krishna considered that Krishna must be dead. They were waiting outside of the cave, according to Krishna's instruction, and they went back to Dwarka to explain to everyone that Krishna never came back. He went into a cave and never came out. So the inhabitants of Dwarka, you can imagine how much they were lamenting the loss of their beloved Krishna, who is their life and their soul. After 28 days of this great fight, Jambavan realized that no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could stand up against me in battle. So you must be my beloved Ram himself. You must be the Supreme Lord Narayan. And then he surrendered at the feet of Sri Krishna. And Krishna, with his loving hands, put it on the body of Jambavan and relieved him of all of his pain and anxiety. And Jambavan was so grateful and ecstatic love to be in the darshan of Sri Krishna that he offered him the Shamantaka jewel as a gift. But he also offered his own beloved daughter, who was a jewel amongst women. This Shamantaka jewel was nothing compared to the jewel of this beautiful child that he raised. She was none other than the goddess of fortune herself, and her name was Jambavati. So Jambavan offered that Krishna accept her hand in marriage. So Krishna brought her back to Dwarka. And there was a beautiful, wonderful wedding ceremony for the second wife of Sri Krishna. When he returned, Satrajit was feeling very embarrassed that he was spreading all these rumors about Krishna which were untrue, and he felt that he had committed a great offense. So in order to atone for the offense, he offered his own daughter of the name Satyabhama to Lord Sri Krishna, and she became his third queen. It is explained that there was a beautiful princess of the name Mitravinda. And Mitravinda, her two brothers were dear friends of Duryodhana. And she decided that she wanted Krishna and only Krishna to be her husband. upon hearing his glories. And Krishna knew this. She was praying from the core of her heart that Krishna take her hand in marriage. But the brothers, they would not accept. Due to their association with Duryodhana, they were against Krishna. They considered him an enemy. So during her Swayamvara ceremony, where great princes from all around were to come to win the hand of the daughter, Krishna simply stole her away and brought her back to Dwarka to become his queen. On another occasion, Krishna was visiting Hastinapur, and with Arjuna one day they went into the forest. And they came to the beautiful river Jamuna, and they went to drink water to refresh themselves. At that time, from behind in the forest, they saw a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful princess walking, all alone. Krishna told Arjuna, please ask this beautiful damsel who she is and why she is unescorted in the middle of this jungle. So Arjuna went back to inquire, and she said, my name is Kalindi, and I am the daughter of Surya, the sun god, and my brother is Yamaraj. And I have been for many, many, many long years in my abode under this river in the Jamuna performing tapasya to get Krishna as my husband. He is the Supreme Lord, the master of the universe, and the object of all my affection and love. I will go on doing tapasya until Krishna accepts my hand in marriage. So Arjuna went back and explained this to Lord Krishna, and Krishna took Kalindi and placed her on his chariot and brought her back to Dwarka, and she became another one of the wonderful queens of Sri Dwarkadish. There was a Swayamvara ceremony held by one king of the name Nagnajit. His daughter's name was Satya. Sometimes she was also called Nagnajiti. She also fixed her heart on having Krishna as husband. And Nagnajit also was very much anxious that only Krishna be her husband. But as it was a custom in their tradition, there had to be a Swayamvara ceremony. And the person who could defeat all others only could have her hand in marriage. So he arranged this Swayamvara in such a way that only Krishna could win. He found 7 terrible, terrible, violent bulls that were so strong and so much ferocious that no one would even approach them. And he challenged that to have this daughter, Satya, as your queen, you must defeat all these 7 bulls simultaneously. And so many great princes, warriors, and heroes came, but their heads and their limbs and their bones were all broken to pieces when they approached these formidable bulls. But Krishna came. And when he came, he spoke to King Nagnajit that, you know, amongst the Yadus, either you give us a queen or we take them. Generally, we don't take part in all of these challenges. And Nagnajit said, if you do this, you will easily defeat all these 7 bulls, and then your name will be glorified forever. So please. So Krishna said, all right. And he approached the bulls. And he expanded himself into 7 forms simultaneously. And when he expanded himself in all 7 forms, each form easily defeated the bull, tied it with rope, and then Krishna became one form again and began to pull all the bulls like a child would pull a toy. And they were just completely under his control. It is explained by the Acharyas why Krishna expanded into seven forms. He could have done it in one form, but he wanted to prove to Satya that if you become my queen, although I already have many other queens, you should know that you'll never be lonely, because I can expand myself to be with all of you simultaneously. And she became very satisfied. And then there was a wedding, wonderful, wonderful wedding ceremony. Krishna married Nagnajiti, and King Nagnajit gave a beautiful dowry, and they returned to Dwarka. There was also a beautiful princess of the name Bhadra. Bhadra was the daughter of some of Krishna's cousins, and they very much wanted Krishna to take her hand in marriage. So with great devotion they requested, and Krishna accepted Bhadra. And the eighth queen was Lakshmana. Krishna also stole her from the Swayamvara ceremony and took her away to Dwarka. So these eight principal queens, they all lived here in Beta Dwarka with Krishna in beautiful, beautiful palaces which put to shame even the palace of Indra, the king of heaven. One day, messenger came. The demigods were approaching Krishna that there was a great asura of the name of Bhoma, also named Narakasura. And he had stolen the umbrella of Varuna. He stole the earrings of the mother of the demigods, Aditi. And he had put to shame the devatas. So they were requesting Krishna to defeat this terrible demon and retrieve their royal property. So Krishna took his queen Satyabhama and asked her to join him on his Garuda carrier. And from Dwarka they flew to the city of Bhomasura, which is a formidable city. It was surrounded all on all sides by big, huge walls and moats of deep water and electrical wires. And it was also a terrible demon of the name Mura with his sons and his armies who were protecting that city. So Krishna on Garuda with his Sudarshan Chakra and his arrows, he destroyed all the protective walls. He destroyed all the electric wirings. He crossed over the moats. At that time, he defeated most of Bhoma's armies. Mura approached. He was very angry. He began to scream. He had five heads. And as he screamed, that shrill filled all directions. And he attacked Krishna. And it was a wonderful fight. But ultimately Krishna severed all of his heads with his chakra, and Mura fell into the water. Then after battling and defeating all of Bhomasura's army, Bhomasura himself came to fight with Krishna. He was a great and powerful mystic. But ultimately, by the great power of the Lord, he severed his head with his chakra and killed Bhomasura. When he entered into the kingdom, he retrieved, the mother of Bhomasura, who was the earth personified, approached Sri Krishna. And she gave Krishna the earrings and the umbrella of Varuna and all of the other property of the demigods. There's an interesting story to Bhomasura. Bhomasura was actually the son of Krishna. When Lord Varahadev appeared and lifted the earth from the water, he impregnated Mother Earth, and Bhoma was the child. And he was a great devotee of the Lord. He was a very pious and perfect human being. But somehow or other he fell into bad association. And it is explained in all the scriptures that even great personalities, the power of association is so much that they could lose their intelligence. Therefore, the most important principle for spiritual advancement, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahuravam Vamoktestamo Dwaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam, to associate with devotees and to avoid the association, intimate association, with those who are too much materialistic. Ajamil was also a great devotee of the Lord, but by associating with low-class people, he became a terrible sinner. In the same way, Boma, due to bad association, became a terrible, powerful demon. And Krishna, he personally wanted to kill his own family member just to show that his devotees are not people who simply take birth according to their blood relationship to him. Everything is based on our devotion. We find even today there are many caste Goswamis who claim their position because of their birth. There is the Nityananda Vams, there is the Advaita Vams, who claim to be the descendants of these great personalities. And also many of the temples of Vrindavan and other places, they are a Goswami caste. They are of the same bloodline of original pujaris of these temples. But Krishna wanted to show that he cares nothing for your birth or your relationships. He's concerned with your devotion, with the quality of your consciousness. And even if you were his own son, he will kill you if you are demoniac. So Bhomasura was killed. And Krishna found when he was searching through his kingdom that there were 16,100 queens, princesses, that he had captured during his battles. And they had been in there as his kidnapped property for many, many years. And they were helpless. And in their complete helplessness, they were simply in the core of their hearts meditating on Krishna, on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that only you can save us. And when Krishna released them, they were all thinking within their hearts that Krishna, you are our life and soul. You are our only object of love and affection. You are our everything. So even though they were silently praying this way, Krishna, the Lord within everyone's heart, could understand their prayer. And he told them that I will take all of you to Dwarka and I will make you all my queens. So Krishna arranged 16,100 beautiful chariots with an entourage for each and every one of them, royal entourage. And they all marched into Dwarka together. And then there was wonderful, wonderful wedding ceremony for all of them, with Sri Krishna. And Lord Sri Krishna built 16,108 palaces here in Dwarka and lived with all of his queens. And each one of the queens was thinking, Krishna is only with me. It is explained when Krishna was here, he was performing different activities with each and every one of his queens, intimately. None of them ever felt lonely for even a second. And when Krishna would rise early in the morning to perform his sadhana, as a perfect grihastha, he would rise before the rooster crowed in the morning and he would perform meditation, perform puja, give in charity. And later in the day, he would leave each of his 16,108 palaces to go to perform his duties as Dwarkadish, the king of Dwarka, assisting King Ugrasena. And he would go to the Sudharma assembly house. And the Bhagavatam explains how he would leave in 16,108 forms, but just before entering into the Sudharma assembly house, all those forms would merge into one form. And then he would rule the state of Dwarka. And then when it was time to return home and meet his queens, he would again expand into his 16,108 forms to enjoy loving relationships with all of them. So this Beti Dwarka is the place where Krishna would meet his queens in confidential love. Krishna wanted to show that although he was setting the perfect example of how all grihasthas should live when he was living within the queen's palaces, that he was at the same time always the Supreme Personality of Godhood. One may ask, how is it possible that Krishna could live in 16,108 palaces simultaneously? Because Krishna is the Absolute Truth, who is the embodiment of Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies. Krishna can do everything, and Krishna can do anything. And when Krishna comes to this earth, he wants to show his supremacy. If he came like an ordinary person, who would chant his glories or worship him? Therefore, he reveals these wonderful, wonderful, inconceivable, super excellent activities simply to attract all of our minds. So in this beautiful, beautiful temple, in this most intimate abode of Beti Dwarka, we find the temples of many of the queens of Sri Krishna. And I request all of you now to go to each altar. Know that each of these princesses is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, expansions of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. Each of them is the embodiment of bhakti, pure devotion, and they are also the bestowers of bhakti or pure devotion. So let us pray before them that we may always be in it, the servant of the servant of the servant of their servants, and by their mercy we can learn to love Krishna and his devotees and express that love in everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Galim, would you like to add any?
Lakshmana and how she was married. Huh? A little closer? Okay. When Vasudeva was performing sacrifices, at that time Draupadi was present, and she requested each of the queens to tell how they were married. So Lakshmana told that her Svayamvara ceremony was much similar to Draupadi's, in that there was a fish on the ceiling. But the difference in the sacrifice was, or the Svayamvara ceremony was, that the fish could not be seen in the same way that Draupadi's was. So even though Arjuna came up to pierce the eye of the fish, he could not trace out the eye of the fish from the bucket in the water, from the reflection in the water. So he also missed the eye of the fish when he tried to pierce it. And when there was no one left to try to get the hand of Lakshmana, it was Krishna who personally came and pierced the eye of the fish. So this story is told in the later portions of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very, very glorious thing that even though all the Kshatriyas of the earth tried for the hand of Lakshmana, It was only Krishna who was able to pierce the eye of the fish. Arivo!